Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today's guest is Tommy Barnes.
Hello.
Hello.
Very enthusiastic hello.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it here. Enthusiastic and loud. Who's this guy, Ellie?
Well, why don't we let him tell us? Who are you, Tommy Barnes?
I am a writer, a brewer, and a second-rate graphic designer.
What a varied career you've had. Yes.
I started with the best and moved down to the... Yeah.
And a close personal friend. I've known you since we were 18, I think, since we were at university.
University at Sheffield.
What was I like when I was 18?
You were very much like you are now, actually. I think.
Pissed and sweary.
Yeah, pissed and sweary, yeah.
And you're also a dad, Tommy.
I am, yes. We've got a boy of two... And we're expecting another child in the end of September.
Wow. Yeah. That's very soon.
It is soon.
Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
How are you feeling about the transition to two children?
Terrified, I think. Terrified. I would like to say excited, but just mostly terrified.
I think better that than overconfident. Yeah.
I feel like we need to rewrite the Spice Girls classic "When Two Become One" to "When One Become Two." And just everything kind of goes to shit. But you'll have a lovely time.
Not for everyone.
Double the love, double the cuddles, double the fun.
You just get through it, don't you? That's my
it every day.
That's my philosophy of life now, really.
Yeah.
Get through it.
You do. Yeah. You just need a lot of wet wipes. A tablet for the older child, DVDs, biscuits, bribes. Good luck.
So I've known you for a long time, but Helen, you've also known Tom for a few years because...
Yes, because we were all doing stand-up individually together. Does that make sense?
None at all.
Okay, so when I started comedy and when I met Ellie and I were still doing like individual nights where we'd go up to shit pubs doing shit things... 5 minutes, and sometimes this guy would be there too.
Yeah,
doing shit things.
Doing our comedy in progress kind of stand up. But you were very funny, Tommy.
Thanks. You were too. I thought.
I like that you're both using the past tense. But first, let's do a bit of book chat because you've written a book, Tom Barnes.
Mm.
Yes.
What's it called?
It's called A Beer in the Loire, and it's about we moved to France. 3 years ago, my partner and I, and to start a brewery in wine country.
Right.
And so it's really a memoir about all the mistakes I made doing that.
And it is hilarious, mainly because it is a series of accounts of you fucking shit up and then having to sort it out in a hilarious way.
Well, I actually shared a bedroom with Ellie, not a bed, God forbid. We shared a twin room bed, and she was reading your book next to me and laughing out aloud. But you know when someone's like watching something going, oh, this is so funny, I'm like, great. So happy for you.
Yeah.
Go to sleep.
like the other half of a phone conversation.
Yeah.
And then we were in that lovely spa and I kept going, no, listen to this, listen to this. And there's a bit about his dog throwing up and you were like, oh God, just shut up.
I know. Yeah,
but it was
it
good.
It sounds fantastic. And I feel like it should be called The Beer Missionary. Because it's sort of like, you know, when people go into other people's culture and like, I know what, you should believe in this.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with that then, because then, yeah, so as you say, you moved to France 3 years ago. What were you doing before that?
I was a graphic designer by day and a comedian by night. So above a pub or below a pub, like 4 or 5 nights a week.
So you met Rose, obviously, a few years before you moved to France.
Yes, I think I've known Rose maybe 3 years. We met at work. We both decided we needed to get out of London. We were being squeezed out, really, in terms of pay, and I think we just wanted more space. So we both love France. We both had memories of going to France as kids on summer holidays, and so we got made redundant, and next thing you know, we were travelling around France trying to find a place to live.
But you did, because you describe in the book how you basically you sort of made yourself redundant by just being quite shit.
I was a terrible employee. There's no doubt about it. And I think everyone was better off when I got made redundant. Yeah, I just had no interest in it. I found it very difficult, office life. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever done office jobs.
Oh, yeah. I worked for the Arts Council.
Yeah.
So a similar kind of thing, because you were in sort of what, like government?
Yeah, non-governmental body or something, yeah.
And sounds interesting.
I couldn't take it seriously.
No, no.
I couldn't. And so I didn't really ever get anywhere. I didn't get any promotions. I just...
You didn't play the system.
I didn't play the system. I drew pictures of my colleagues as centaurs and things like that.
Yeah.
But then I got to about 30 and I thought, this is just not going to work. I should have been fired long ago, really, but it's the public sector and it's much harder to fire people. So they never.
Oh, it takes like 27 steps to fire someone.
People just thought, we just can't be bothered. So no. He's not really doing any harm. We'll just leave him.
That's right. He's not setting anything on fire. No. But like, you said it was an offer of romance. I mean, did you in the with the
We didn't. I don't think. If Rose listens to this, no, we didn't.
Don't confuse her with someone else.
Yeah.
It wasn't her.
I mean, the photocopies were normally out of action anyway. So
yeah, because it's not for profit, which means everything's terrible.
Did you do that thing where, like, did you hide the romance, like, from the other?
We did really badly, really badly, and it was that enormous anticlimax when we told people, and they were, yeah, we knew.
Yeah.
Like, the people just didn't even turn around from their computer screens.
Yeah.
Not that we announced it. On a table.
Yeah.
Everybody.
We're boning.
We're boning, guys.
Yeah.
No. What you want to know this.
CC everybody. Yeah. Reply all.
They were like, no, we'd be less shocked if you told us you weren't shagging. But yeah, there's a nice bit in the book where you talk about meeting Rose and stuff. And you're not, I wouldn't say you're an overly sentimental person, but you say, and I think possibly even someone read this out at your wedding, you say, once I met Rose, there were no decisions left to be made.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was lovely.
I read that out at my wedding.
Oh, was it you?
Yeah.
Who was that guy?
Sorry. I was quite pissed by the time you did your speech.
No. I did, because I was so lazy. I didn't write a speech. I just read something out of my own book.
Your own book.
Yeah. Control C, Control V. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really lovely thing to say. So what was the fear? What was the moment that you kind of knew that?
We just sort of clicked and there wasn't any having to impress each other.
Yeah.
Which was lucky for me, because that's always tricky.
That's a really lovely way of putting it, because I feel, you know...
Well, I think, you know, like, you often... I think people often try and convince themselves that a relationship is good, and they make a big song and dance of it, on and they'll post lots of pictures on Facebook of them on beaches. You know, I think I say this in the book, the pictures people take of their feet in the sunset and all that. Oh, I really find that really irritating. I feel like we didn't have to take pictures of our feet, which I thought was
you
good.
You just go on with it. You're
too busy shagging on the photocopy. So you got married on it, you moved to France, and then you were like, and was the idea to make the beer come while you were in France, or how did that come about?
It was, I'm not really sure. I remember telling people, I think, I was going to start a brewery before we left. But really, just because it was something to say.
Why are you going to France?
Yeah, you've got to say something.
Yeah, you do. You need to have a purpose.
You can't say, I'm just going to start getting pissed at 12 every day, which I'm sure, to be honest, having known you for 20 years was your intention.
That was exactly my original idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I envisaged sitting around in the sun with a... I thought I'd drink white wine in the morning, mm-hmm. then switch to red in the afternoon.
Yes, very nice.
Shepherd's
and
delight.
Maybe, if I was getting a bit too drunk, I'd switch to a bit of fizz.
Just a light light scattering of fizz. Just gnaw on a baguette until you fall asleep. Yeah.
But I couldn't say that to people, so I said I was going to start a brewery. But in fact, originally I wrote a book. I thought what I'll do is I'll write a best-selling murder mystery. So I spent a year writing that while we travelled around France. And everyone hated it. I think it might be the worst book ever written.
Hold on to it, though.
Yeah, I might release it one day under an
assumed name. I think, you know, that podcast, my dad wrote a porno. Yeah. We should have my friend wrote a murder mystery. And just read it out and go, oh my God, this happened. Yeah. This is really lame. Why would you do that?
Well, you know how J.K. Rowling releases murder mysteries under another name?
Yeah.
I think you should release your murder mystery under the name J.K. Rowling. See what happens. There you are, you can have that.
Oh, you're listening, Joanne.
Yeah.
We're after you.
Job done.
Yeah, good. All right, we'll send us a fine later. We'll work out something. We can workshop this.
I should send it to you. We'll give you a laugh, I think.
I'm up for it. So you were like, well, this book's shit. I might as well make some beer.
Now I'm really in the shit. It was at that point that we found out Rose was pregnant. And so I just I've got to do something. And I didn't want to go back to an office job. And then I realised that beer would save me.
And it did save you, but as you explain in the book, it did take a while to get there, not least because of your dog, who sounds like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, we've got two dogs. We've got they're brothers. We've got Louis, who's a really nice dog. He's intelligent, desperate to please.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got Bert, who's a sort of a dark shadow who follows me around. He's like my nemesis.
Sounds like the first child and the second child. This is what happened. The first ones are very much people pleasers, and the second child are like, I don't care about rules. Yeah.
It's more than that. Bert's got it in for me, I think. Oh. He's actually my nemesis.
You talk about this in the book. You think Bert is actually trying to kill you. He actually wants you dead.
Yeah.
This is what you should write your murder mystery about. Eventually the dog will kill you.
That's a very good idea. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
you can get rid of dogs. You don't have to keep him.
No, but he would come back.
Oh, really? You feel you'd see a paw coming out of the soil.
I ran him over. Not deliberately, I should say. I ran him over the other week, and I really thought he was that was it, and wasn't injured at all. If anything, he's stronger.
Wow, it's like Terminator.
Yeah, it's really terrifying.
He regrouped, the fur and the bone came back together.
Yeah. I mean, he does terrible things. He started doing this thing. I used to cut lawns when I originally started the brewery. I'd cut the lawns of people with second homes to try and earn a living while the brewery was coming on. I'd take Bert with me to try and build bridges with him. And he would shit in front of the lawnmower so that when I ran over it, I would splat shit all over my legs. And that's bad.
That's never good.
When I realised he was truly an evil genius, he then started doing phantom shits. So he would pretend he was doing a shit, but he wouldn't actually do one. And then I would then be looking for this shit for the rest of the time I was lawn mowing.
So he'd done the full action, looked like he'd back one out.
And he knew what he was doing. And then, because then for the rest of the morning, I would be terrified I was going to run over this.
Yes.
So mentally, it was a much more damaging...
He was unravelling you.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. I want to meet this dog. Well, yeah. He needs his own Instagram account.
But when people meet him, they're always really disappointed because they think he's really nice. But that's what he wants you to think.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the charmer, the evil charmer, but he's secretly stabbing you in the back.
He's like a Japanese prisoner of war guard who pretends to be your friend, but he's secretly...
shitting in front of your lawnmower. Yeah.
One of my favourite scenes in the book is where I think you're doing this at your first brew or something, and you get to like the crucial moment.
What you do is you soak malt in water, then you throw, malt is just grain, you throw the grain out once it's soaked. Right. And at the crucial point in my brew, I heard some retching from out in the garden. I ran out to find one of our dogs, Louis, had been eating the grain and then vomiting. But then re-eating his vomit. So when I went to grab him, then the other dog, Bert, sneaked round behind me and started eating Louis's vomit and vomiting while I was trying to stop Louis vomiting. Yeah, I had to pen them in and just leave them to sort of vomit in a in a corner while I finished the brew.
But so how was the first? How did the first brew taste after that?
It was actually, it was fine. I think I was just so impressed that I'd made something alcoholic.
Yeah.
That I didn't really notice the flavour that much. It was fine. It's only after you've made a few brews that you start to become discerning, I think, of the taste. First of all, you think you're a magician. If you've turned something into alcohol, it's like...
Right. You're like an alchemist. I've discovered the secret to gold. Yeah. How do you even make it then? So you get like, I don't know, a fucking bucket? What do?
You get a bucket. It's actually...
You pour in 14 pints of Carlsberg. Yeah. And then add whatever you like. Heineken, Stella. It's up to you, really, until you get a flavour you like.
Yeah, and then you put your own label on it. It's actually relatively easy to make beer. You get malt, which is normally barley, which has then been soaked and dried so that it's easier to release the starch. This is incredibly boring, but you soak that in water to get the starch out. Then you turn the starch to sugar and then you boil it, add hops.
And what are hops?
Hops are plants. Any plant will do.
Your mastermind topic is beer. Plants.
Hops are
from Kent. There's a hop house.
A hop is a hop. A rose is a rose. Yeah. I don't know. Then you put all your mud-coloured liquid in a fermenter.
Yes.
Add yeast.
Yeah.
Leave it for a couple of weeks and it turns into beer.
If I hadn't read your book, I'd say it sounds like a piece of piss, quite honestly. Why the fuck did you fuck it up?
That's the thing, though. It's easy to make beer. It's hard to make beer that tastes nice. That's the secret.
Darn it all. Yeah.
And I'm perfectly happy with just beer. But it turns out people won't buy it unless it tastes nice.
So you're making beer in a wine-growing area. Can you see, like, vineyards from your... beer distillery?
Not quite.
Is that what you call it?
No, it's a brewery.
Right. Yeah. Beer distillery.
I think if I a distillery, Tommy.
Yes. I get the produce from my wine in my grape garden. But so how did you go from like idea, and then when did you first sell it? Like, when did it first sort of become like almost legit?
I sold it at... there's an asparagus market in the local village. That's our big market.
Yeah.
And so I got a stand there and I sold some beer for the first time about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
About 50 bottles of beer.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
So what was the reaction from the presumably almost all French sort of crowd then? Because obviously, like, you know, there they are in France, obviously being French, and here comes this English guy going, I'll tell you how to make some beer, here's some beer. Were they all right with that?
No, really.
They say really. Zut alors.
They said a lot of that in a German accent.
He didn't live in hello hello.
What is this beer? I do not like it.
If they spoke English, it would probably be like that, but they it's quite rural, and they generally speak French. They were okay with it, but I was making an IPA, which is an English sort of American style beer,
and
they just wanted blonde beer, which is what they drink normally, like sort of lagers, like Stella and things. So I carried on for a year, brewing IPA, thinking I was right and they were all wrong. Mm-hmm. And then
unusual for an Englishman.
Yeah, exactly. they just haven't tasted my, or they haven't realised that they're
These IPA natives need to understand this is how we do things.
Exactly. Yes, this is good. Yeah. You will like it.
Trying to educate them, and then I realised actually they just want a nice blonde beer, so I changed after that to making, I still make IPAs, but I realised I had to make a lot of blonde beer as well.
What, for money?
I just drink the IPA myself.
Well, can we try some? So
and what is it actually called?
This is called Berger Blonde. My neighbour is called, his surname is Berger, and he told me every day for a year to make a blonde beer. Yeah. It turned out he was right, so I so named a beer after him.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
And are you friends with him?
Yeah, I am. He's a good guy.
Aww.
But when I told him that I was naming a beer after him, I expected him to be really happy, and he just said, d'accord. Which is okay.
Fine, okay, yeah, d'accord. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I think by that point, I'd made so many bad beers, he thought it was probably poisonous or something. Yeah. He didn't want to be associated with it. But.
Well, I love that the French aren't very enthusiastic. Everything is like good or very good. Nothing is like excellent, oh my God, blow your mind. But there's no extreme with the French. It's all like, whatever.
Yeah.
So this is the Brody Beer Burger. I liked it. Was it your aunt invested in the...
Yes, I make another one called Biscuit Ale, which is my aunt invested in a brewery, and as long as I named one of the beers after her dog, Biscuit.
Yeah, yeah. But didn't she originally tell you the dog's name? What is it?
It was Mussolini.
Yeah. But yeah, she rings you up and says, yes, you know, as long as you name the beer after my dog, and you're like, what's the dog's name? And she's like, Mussolini. Yeah. And you're like,
okay then, all right. All right.
I love your money.
If I get some investment, yeah.
All right, here we go. Now, I know you like a sound effect on the podcast, Helen.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you very much.
Right.
Okay.
Are we going for it?
Chin, chin. What do they say in France? Salute. Is that right?
Salut.
Salut.
No,
okay,
that's
good.
Just hello, actually.
Hello. All right, good.
Sante, they say.
Sante. Yeah,
we're... Yeah, I should know that. Sante.
That's gorgeous. Can I buy this in Waitrose?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Ooh.
I'm getting hops. I'm getting plants.
I'm getting wetness.
Plant hops.
I'm getting beeriness.
It's lovely. I think the French are right. I like a blonde beer. I don't like it when it's too bitter. I don't like the craft. Let me tell you about beer.
I don't like it.
I'll tell you about beer.
This is how Brexit happened, Tommy.
I don't like the craft ales that are like sort of Marmite-y bath water. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I like things like this that have fizz and, you know, taste
like
a
fresh
cleaner.
Go nicely with your fish and chips.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a place for blonde beer. It's good. It's good for refreshment. That's what I tell people when I sell it to them at the market.
But how do you say that in French?
Oh, c'est bon pour le...
Pour le salut.
Pour le soif. Pour le soif. Yeah. It's good for the thirst, I say. I think that's what it means, but they nod and smile and
they
buy
go,
it.
So. Yes, okay, go away, Englishman.
Yeah.
So how much beer are you making and selling now, then?
I make about between 200 and 400 litres a week.
Bloody
hell! Wow.
It's not much for a brewery.
How much are you drinking a week?
About 150 litres a week. So.
One of the things...
Testing's important.
One of the things I liked about the book, which I haven't read, which Ellie told me about while she was annoying me, while we were sharing a room, is that you drank a lot of beer... to get the bottles to make your own beer. And I thought, that's clever. I should try and make a winery in my house and just drink all the white wine out of Waitrose.
It's very important.
I mean, it sounds important.
If you haven't got bottles, you can't... There's nothing to put beer in.
Well, that's it. So what did you like to put away?
I drank everything. I mean, I really... It was a real education in beer for me because I drank everything in the supermarket.
Research, Rose! Yeah. I'm doing research!
I was just like supermarket sweep. I cleaned off the shelves of beer and drank it all. It was a wonderful time in my life, actually. Think about it.
So what's next? What's the plan? So you've got the brewery up and running. You've written the book. What are you going to do now?
Oh, I really want to retire. I really hope to retire and live my dream of just drinking wine in the sun all day.
And do you have an assistant now?
No.
Do you it all yourself?
Yeah, I do it all myself. It's small enough that I can do it all myself. But we've got another baby arriving in October. And so I think it's just going to get even more mental.
How old's Albert now, the first one?
Two and a bit now.
He can start doing the labels soon, no worries.
Yeah, that's it.
I got him doing labels this morning, actually.
Oh, there you are.
And then
he shouts beer. When it doesn't matter what drink I've got in my hand, he shouts beer because normally it is beer. So he associates any drink that I have with
that
beer.
That is beer.
Which I think is, it's not a great sign.
It's normal, yeah. And how's Bert doing? Is he all right? Didn't you have another pet called Bert one week? Didn't you have a...
I had a frog called Bert Reynolds.
Obviously. What happened to him?
He died. he died. And I tried to speak to him in the afterlife. I went to a Derek Acora show. Amazing. You're aware of Derek Acora.
I am not. Yeah. Can you fill me in on? He's some kind of spirit.
TV psychic. Yeah, really, really bad one.
Yeah.
He used to be a professional footballer, and that didn't work out. So I think he then went.
I'll just
become a TV psychic.
He's quite camp, quite northern, and sort of strangely angry. There's this sort of undercurrent. Yeah.
I think we'll be YouTubing this quite sinister.
He's angry himself.
Yeah, but he claims to be able to speak to the dead. Did he speak to Burt Reynolds?
He didn't. He failed completely. You had to bring in an item of, so a possession of your pet.
Yes.
So I brought in a water bowl that he died in. and which I thought would be quite a strong connection. But nothing. I got nothing. He only spoke. He spoke to a couple of dogs, and that was it.
Sounds like a good night out.
What were they called?
Steve Gutenberg and Tom John. Selleck. No, they were all called John because that was his thing. He would say, "I'm getting a John" or something.
Yeah, my God, the most common name. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you worried about, Gemet's a bit, are you worried about Brexit and all that?
We're a bit worried about Brexit, but I'm eligible for an Irish passport, so I think we're just going to get an Irish passport.
Yeah, and then, you'll be fine.
But if not, who knows, we could be...
Can you be naturalised into France? How long do you have to be in France for until you can be French?
I think it's 8 years.
Okay.
You have to pass an exam, which is...
400 pages long.
400 pages long.
You have to know all of the characters from Hello, Hello,
in depth. Yeah, you have to recite several episodes of Hello, Hello.
Yeah, you have to be able to do the accent.
That's right. You have to do some mime. Just mime your things.
I think we'll be all right.
Have you been apologising? That's what I kind of find. Like, when I go back to Australia, I just sort of... Where people go, "Oh my God, Brexit, what the fuck's going on?" And you're like, "I'm just sorry, I didn't know it."
Yeah. But the French, they're interesting. They're not angry with the English. They're just disappointed. You know, they're just...
Pall mall. Yeah.
They like us, I think, the French. They would never admit it, but... they just can't understand why we would do something like that.
I know, you're in the world's best party and you go, "Do you know what? I don't want to be in this party. I want to be this... I just want to go outside and smoke a cigarette and feel miserable by myself."
Dude, you do that all the time.
I know. Maybe it's my fault psychologically. Oh, that's true.
I have a theory about Brexit in that it's a classically English thing to do or British thing to do. Because basically, what we did was we got... very upset about various different things, but we weren't able to express them like the French would or the Italians would.
Yeah.
And we weren't able to deal with them in a sensible way like the Germans would.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did was we held it all in and then exploded in rage, and now we regret it.
Like John Cleese when he starts hitting the car with the branch. Yeah. That's the ultimate Englishman going absolutely loopy.
It's like falling down that wonderful Michael Douglas film.
So in a way, it's not really a surprise to me that we voted for Brexit.
No, because we wanted to ruin it. It was the only way out.
We just couldn't deal with our emotions in that way.
Oh, right.
Well, there we go. Fingers crossed. It'll be all right. It'll probably be all right. I don't think Brexit's going to happen. That's my theory.
I'm going to join that denial.
Yeah. Let's have some more burger blondes and cross our fucking fingers.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Oh, exciting. Now, Helen, what time is it?
It's time for a game, Ellie Gibson. So I've put together a list of very funny beer titles, actual beer from the real world, and I've made up some fake beer names. I want to see whether you two can guess real beer or fake beer. So just buzz in. What's going to be your buzzers? Oh, nice. Tommy?
I'm going to see if I can burp on demand. I don't think I can.
All right.
Honk.
Okay, all right. Is this real or fake? Ginger tosser.
Honk.
Yeah?
Real.
Yes!
Oh! Straight in.
Is this real or fake? Hoptimus Prime.
Honk. Real.
Yes! He's good!
Yes! That's amazing.
It's from New York. Okay. Is this real or fake? My wife's bitter.
That's true.
Yes, it is.
It's from Australia. Of course it is. Of course it is.
Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Honk.
Yes.
True.
Yes!
That's got to be Australian as well.
No, that's from Stone Brewery Company in California, USA. This is my... Okay, I won't say anything. I'll try again.
Well, now I know that it's a funny one that you've made up.
Hebrew.
Oh, Jesus. or not. That's true. Fake.
It's true.
Oh,
it's from the Schmaltz Brewing Company in New York, USA.
Of course it is.
The Bearded Wanker.
You're just being fucking stupid now. That's fake.
Yes, it is. Morning Wood.
True?
Yes! It's from Minnesota, USA. How about...
As opposed to Minnesota, Italy. Thanks.
Moist Belly Ale.
Please let that be true.
No, it's fake. Fucking Hell.
Fake.
No, it's true. It's from Fucking Hell Brewers in Berlin, Germany.
Berlin, Spain. I think we have to declare Barnes the winner after.
I think so. I think you are the beer winner. Congratulations.
What has he won?
His own beer.
Now I think it's time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions. No, I had one earlier. What was it? I've forgotten it now.
We just saw your son's penis.
Oh, yeah. My son is wandering around in a Spider-Man outfit with, like, they're just, like, there's a hole in the knee, obviously, where he's tripped over. And then there's just a little hole where his penis is dangling through, which is nice. But he won't take it off. He won't even put it in the bin. He's three. He thinks it's the best thing ever.
No.
You know, good luck to him. Yeah, that's all fine.
Tommy Barnes, do you have a Scummy Mummy Confessional Scabby Debbie?
We were at the beach in Cornwall a few months ago. We thought Albert, my child, was playing with some pebbles.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sort of a stream that was running down to the sea through the beach.
Yeah.
And he was in this stream and we thought he was playing with some pebbles. But when we went to check, they're actually his poo.
Oh, very nice.
So we just took him away and watched the pebbles gradually roll down towards some other children. and we didn't warn them.
No,
we just left.
Very natural. Yeah. Return to nature.
Exactly. They were, yeah.
Thorn, have you got a confession for us?
Oh, I had a really good one, but then I forgot. I'm just going to show off. I had sex in a tent.
And
Ellie knew that I did because I went to a festival with Ellie, but I didn't take my children, and I was covered in like body glitter. And then the next morning, my husband was covered in body glitter, and Ellie worked out the clues.
Yeah. Aye. Yeah. Been down Claire's accessories. I don't think we have. Don't think we have, son. Oh, but well done for having sex in a tent.
I know, it is a bit weird having sex near people you know, though. You know, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, and we could hear other people talking in a
tent. What's the soundproofing like in that?
We were very quiet. It's like, you know, teenagers again. You kind of very, very sort of thing, because you could hear people chatting. I don't know, I'm not very good at gauging distances and sound, so who knows. Anyway,
I didn't hear a peep. It was only when your husband emerged looking like David Bowie
that I thought, oh, okay.
Oh, they've done things with glitter and bits and bobs. Anyway, that wasn't a confession. That was more showing off.
I enjoyed it. It was good.
Very good. We need to thank our wine sponsor, don't we, Ellie?
Yes, we do. Yes, thank you so much to iheartwines.co.uk, who very kindly let us keep. We had some. They gave us the wine for our 5th anniversary party, and we had some left over, and they let us keep it. And now it's, you know, keeping us fueled along with Tom's beer, obviously, for the podcast. So thank you to them for that.
If you'd like to give us more beer, we'll mention your shit on our podcast again. Go on.
Yeah. Never mind the fact I've known you for 20 fucking years. That means nothing. To me.
Not. It's dead to me. Yes.
Where can people follow you on Instagram and all that?
On Instagram at Bralou Beer, which is BRASLOU. BIERE.
We've got it in the show notes, everyone. Show notes. We'll put some links on our website. It's fine.
Yeah, and on Twitter at TommyBarnes1977.
And your book?
And the book's out in September. It's called A Beer in the Loire, available from Waterstones and Amazon.
No other books.
Nothing else, no.
That's, and possibly some other bookshops.
Are you going to sell it in France? Or do you not want them to know?
I don't want them to know, yeah. No, I'm going to get... Hopefully we'll get it translated and then
what will
I'll
it be called then in French?
I haven't. Un bière, dans le
un bière on ici. What do you, because you talk about your French friends a lot in the book? What did they think of it? Have they read it?
No.
Okay.
No, they haven't.
Can you not just put it in through Google Translate?
Oh, it's not that great, Google Translate. No, because I do most of my, I translate a lot of my my Instagram. Comments into French, and my neighbour had to pull me aside, and apparently I'd said something incredibly offensive. So,
well, there we go. Yes, do of course go to scummymummies.com if you want to get tickets for our live shows. We are doing a big Christmas tour.
Oh my God, so many dates, and we're going to do a massive gig in Catford.
Yes,
we're going on Broadway. So we've only got another 799 tickets to sell for that 800-seater gig. So please come to that on the 9th of November.
Yes, please do. All tickets from scummymummies.com. Follow us on the Instagram at scummymummies. Our book is still in print.
I believe so, Ellie. It's from Amazon at a very reasonable price. And please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast.
Yes. Well, thank you for being a lovely guest. And thank you for the beer. It's
no problem.
Properly nice.
It's gorgeous. And a very lovely, like, womanly shaped bottle. It's lovely.
You've had too much.
I've had far too much.
It's going to be back to university for you.
Oh, dear. Womanly shape. Oh, God, all leather.
Keep your hands off me.
That should be our catchphrase. Don't touch me, Helen. You had too much wine.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Get off.
No, not there. Why is someone at your window, Ellie?
I think it's Chris. It's all right.
Who's Chris?
Maybe Chris Hoser.
Do you know this person?
Yeah, Chris Hosegood.
Is he coming over to...
Yeah, he actually first taught me to brew beer.
Relevant.
Yeah. So it's all his fault.
Okay. Yeah. Are you Chris Hoser?
Hello.
Hi, Chris Hoser.
How you doing?
We're recording a podcast. It's all right, you can still shake my hand. He looks genuinely frightened. I love that he's brought two beers in a Warburton's bread bag. This is... You've got high quality friends.
It's actually very fashionable.
Oh my God.
Warburton's.
No, it's recording, so I mean, it's going to go on the internet, so say whatever you like.
Yeah. If there's any political statements you want to make.
Yes, we've just basically slammed Brexit as well. I talked about how excellent Tommy's beer is. Have you bought cigarettes?
No. Sorry.
Hey.
Do you mind sitting in the garden just till Pete can basically get out?
All right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.